Good morning. We just did a few last-minute switches, so bear with me real quick. Let me get organized. I'd like to welcome everybody to Jenkins Church this morning. Is everybody dealing with the heat okay? Because I'm struggling a little bit with it. In about 5 months, we'll be complaining about the cold, so I guess we just should be thankful for what we've got. There are several announcements in the bulletin. And I'll just leave that up to you all to take some time this morning or this afternoon and read through those, but wanted to ask if anybody else has any announcements or things that need to be definitely brought to the attention. I'm going to start with Steve out of my mind. Go ahead, Steve. Okay. Kitchen committee next Sunday at 10 a.m. A moment to pause for silent prayer, preparing our hearts for worshiping God. Our call to worship this morning is responsive. You'll find it in your bulletin. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor and release to the captives. Happy are they who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patient endurance. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into the harvest."
All for 1,000 tongues.
Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Our call to confession this morning comes from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Our prayer of confession this morning is responsive. For other concerns, it is a bit small, so hopefully you all can all see that. From infirmity of purpose, from want to earnest care and interest, from the sluggishness of indolence and the slackness of indifference, and from all spiritual deadness of heart, save us and help us, we humbly beseech thee, O Lord. From dullness of conscience, from feeble sense of duty, from thoughtless disregard of others, from a low idea of the obligations of our position, and from all half-heartedness in our work,
save us and help us.
We humbly beseech thee, O Lord. From self-conceit and vanity and boasting, from delight in supposed success and superiority, and from all the harms and hindrances of offensive manners and self-assertion,
save us and help us. We humbly beseech thee, O Lord.
From love of flattery, from over-ready belief and praise, from dislike of criticism, and from self-deception of persuading ourselves that others think better than the truth of us,
save us and help us. We humbly beseech thee, O Lord.
From all hasty utterances of impatience, from the retort of irritation and the taunt of sarcasm, from all infirmity of temper in provoking or being provoked, from love of unkind gossip, and from all idle words that may do hurt,
save us and help us. We humbly beseech thee, O Lord.
Chiefly, O Lord, we pray thee give us knowledge of thee, to see thee in all thy works, always to feel thy presence near and to hear thy call. Uplift our hearts to new love, energy, and devotion, that we may go forth in thy strength to persevere through success and failure, through good report and evil report, even to the end, and in all time of our tribulation, and in all time of our rejoicing.
Save us and help us. We humbly beseech thee, O Lord.
Our assurance of forgiveness this morning comes from Romans, also chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?
Well, turning our hymnals again, hymn 357. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. This is an uplifting. We need to get a little excitement in our voice because Jesus does love us. Aren't we happy when someone else loves us?
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the life of my being. This is
This week, Nancy and I were over here, and Lisa asked what I was going to sing this Sunday, and I said, well, I know I'm supposed to sing, and I haven't got it picked out. Not sure we're going to be here, so just leave it blank. So that turned out good this morning because I have a special guest coming to sing with me this morning. And some of you may not even know my wife, since she's in the nursery every Sunday and doesn't get out here, and now she's going to come out here and steal my thunder.
expect us to sing Nancy singing more often now. You know, she's got that wonderful talent. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from James chapter 1, verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Would our ushers please come forward? Can I get four ushers, please?
Lord God, we find the example of Abraham, we find the example of Jacob, we find the examples throughout the New Testament of people giving. Lord, you have not given us a law, but you have given us opportunities. We come this morning thankful that we have enough. Thankful that you have asked us to participate in sharing your truth, your word, your what? Your salvation. So bless these tithes and these offerings that might truly happen through this church as these funds are distributed to the various avenues of service. In Christ's name.
Eventually someone pushed us off the road. T-Dot pushed us off the road, and and then we got a tow truck, and then we got to Hot Springs, Arkansas, where General Assembly was held, Arlington Hotel. It's kind of a historic district considered downtown. And then that first day, there was no really General Assembly business, but the following day, that was the first official day people had to be there, and we just, for the business that day, we just kind of, it was much more of a government standard. It was not making sense to a lot of people. It was more of the adult meeting, and the kids that day were not needed, but we were there, I guess, just to be initiated in a sense. The following day, I don't think there was actually any business, but our committees met, which I was on theology and social concerns, which did not mix with much. It mixed with a movie called Amazing Grace and whether we should approve it to let others watch it, but that ended up being denied because we could not get a copy of that particular movie. I guess that was that. Went home, I searched for it, and I can't find it. But, and James was on missions, and he had a lot. If my meetings lasted 30 minutes, on average they did, and it would last a few hours. And also, my committee also, of course, missed with social concerns, and but all we really did for that was look at ways towards other recommendations. The permanent committee on theology and social concerns looked at ways to help church work towards healing our world environmentally and social injustices in our world. Quite honestly, my entire thing would be half a page if you can see that, and it's not much that we did. We just read it. No one wanted to change a single thing on it during that final day, and it was done. But everything else before that seemed to take forever. But and everything that we did end up changing was grammatical, and it kind of seemed redundant. And finally, they said, we'll fix that later on when we get something important done. But, there's also an interesting thing that happened that week. Frank Ward was moderator, they voted, but then he ended up wanting to become co-moderator with his in the election that they had, his opponent, so to speak, and he became co-moderator with, I'm going to forget
her name. Rosemary McGrew.
There you go. So this is a different name, but and that was different, and then later on, the following day, the day after that, there were arguments about it, but it had already been passed, and they should have mentioned that the day after, so nothing they said really went through, and everyone denied it, the majority of it. And I think I've covered everything that I really need to cover, but the car broke down on the way back, too. The transmission failed again, it was faulty, and then we got a tow truck again, came back, and got home, and it's all, and we always worked out of Memphis.
Went through Memphis, the car they were in broke down. Coming back, they came back, picked up the car, and left it to have the transmissions in. But got 20 miles down the road, and it broke again. That's the same one. So he left it again. Hopefully it's fixed now.
I think so.
The one thing, Frank Ward is over, it works with the youth. He's at CPYC this week, I guess, with our youth. Susan has worked real close to him. Happened to be preaching the time that I made my commitment to become a minister in my little home church down in Mississippi. Interesting thing about Frank is the nicest guy you'll meet. And he was nominated to be moderator, and this lady from Texas was nominated to be moderator. And he was elected by about a 46 to 30-something margin. But being the super nice guy, he broke tradition, and he asked that they make her co-moderator. So the next step, it never had happened. There's no provision for it. They set aside rules. I was just a visitor, wasn't even there that day. They set aside the rules and made her co-moderator. And what are you talking about? The next day, people began to argue, to say, I mean, friendly arguments, I guess, that we have no precedent for this, or this is a bad precedent. But assembly, the delegates there saying, we're happy with it, we're going to go with it, even if we do set a precedent. Is that kind of... And one thing you told last week when he spoke to the 10-15 service, this time every vote, or almost every vote, before the commissioners would vote, they would poll the youth advisory delegates to see how they would vote. And most every time, they voted just like y'all did, right? So the youth saw everything just like the adult commissioners, or most everything. Am I pretty much right on that? I wasn't in there forever.
Yeah, the things that were kind of in different split, 50-50, that was the thing that we argued with.
Yeah.
Mostly the same.
Yeah, but they would go with the... The youth felt the same way that the commissioners did. But there was some reorganization of the hierarchy of the church, and what will that ever do to us? We hope it helps us. We're not sure. It really boils down to the grassroots, the local church, getting busier and building churches, touching lives.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. So happens that our church has had a delegate for the past. Last year, one of our youth was the delegate. A couple of years ago, Melanie's daughter was the delegate 3 or 4 years ago. And so we've been well represented. Yes, it was last year, right.
Here is the time for our contemporary songs. It's kind of hard to sing in the morning. Usually the voice is so hoarse. So it's a good concept that the Lord is listening more to our hearts than to our voices. Let us worship Him. To Him who sits on the throne. 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. And next, from John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Yesterday I was talking to some of our people, and they said, what are you going to preach on this morning? And I told them, and they said, well, that ought to be for a non-Christian. And I said, well, maybe it'll be a good review for the Christian. So if you already know everything that I'm going to say this morning, just consider this your review. If you don't know it, and consider it being what you need. Or maybe what you need. The sermon is some of the benefits of salvation. And as we look at Romans chapter 5, the first five verses, we find some of those benefits. Also, as we look at John 3, verses 14 through 18, we find some more of the benefits of being in Christ, being saved. I said some, because I would not claim in 15 minutes to tell all of the benefits. So I just hope to show that some of the benefits of trusting Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And later on, I'll do it now and then later on, hopefully do it, ask you to get out your New Testament. Go home, get out your New Testament. And make a list, if you will, of the benefits of being in the family of God or experiencing salvation through Jesus Christ. Think about the effort that has gone into the salvation of people. Think about the great lengths that God went to in order that you might be saved. And you see the cross. And we know what happened on the cross. That He gave His only Son to die on the cross. We're told one of the most cruel deaths that anyone could experience. God was very much concerned about our salvation. He was so concerned that He was willing to sacrifice His Son. He sent Jesus to us, causing Jesus to leave the glories of heaven. Now, I said a few weeks ago, I don't know a lot about heaven, but the Bible gives us a few glimpses into heaven, mainly through the revelation of the Apostle John. God revealed some of the things about heaven. Just enough, I guess, to make us interested or to give us a foretaste. But all that we know about heaven is glorious. It's great. And it would be a great step down, a giant step down, to have to leave the glories of heaven and come to earth, especially to the world that Jesus came to. But God was so concerned about us being saved, or us being a part of His family, and us experiencing an eternity with Him in heaven. He was so concerned that we would be saved from Satan in his domain. Hell, Gehenna, illustrated by the city dump outside, that only a few of us remember those city dumps because they've
covered them all up now, and he's hidden them all from us. But it's a continually smoldering pile of trash. That was the description or the illustration to illustrate separation from God and the eternity with Satan. And God was so concerned that we be redeemed from Satan that he caused Jesus to leave the glories of heaven and come to a mean, cruel earth, to live among people who suffer, as we have said, one of the most awful, tragic deaths anyone could suffer, and to die. And he did it all so that we might be saved. Through the ages, God has called men and women. He's called them to go near, and he's called them to go far, to tell the story of Jesus. And last evening, Kim was there, Sam and Nancy were there, and I was there, and we were meeting with some people who had been called to go far. They had been called to go to Colombia, South America. All of these, I believe, present had served there. And they spent a portion of their life there to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the persons present last evening was one of the early converts, Jose Fajardo, and a name well known in Cumberland Presbyterian circles till he retired about 25 years ago. And he became a minister himself and ended up coming to the United States to be a missionary to us, preaching in Illinois, Iowa, I believe, in Arkansas, and ended up in Texas, I believe. And many of you may have run across Jose. He lived in the Woodbine area for a number of years. But these people were called, and they went to great lengths, to much sacrifice, to go to a foreign country to help people find Jesus, who really wasn't lost, but they were lost from him. Help people to see Jesus in their presence. And so much effort has been extended in order to get the story of salvation through Jesus. John 3:16 being the center of that story. Get that story out, and then to invite people to trust Jesus, to save them from their sin. Not only have people been called to a foreign field, they've been called to their own neighborhood. And God continues to call and send people that they might tell the story of salvation, or our need to salvation, warn them against Satan, and call people into a saving knowledge or a saving understanding of Jesus. And then when they get saved, God challenges the same to go and tell someone else. Sometimes we think that that's the end when we find a relationship with God, and we kind of breathe a sigh of relief and say, well, I've finally arrived. Friends, we haven't arrived when we get saved. Because if we read the rest of the story, we are called, we who have been saved are called to share Jesus with those around us, to go to great lengths ourselves, that others might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the task of the preacher, you say. Well, it is. But it's also the task of the lay people. And if you read the Bible carefully, you can find that the preacher's job is to equip the people to go and tell the story. Churches have been built. This church was built to share the gospel in a Presbyterian way in a Reformed tradition to the neighborhood of Noblesville, knowing 25 years ago plus what was happening and what was going to happen in this suburb to the big city. We had some far-thinking progressive people. Basically, it started with the Tusculum Church, and they came here and established this church. One of many that have been built in order that the message of Jesus might be shared. Colleges have been established. Training schools have been developed with the ultimate purpose of sharing Jesus and helping people come to know Jesus and to trust Him as their Savior and trust Him to save them. But then the question comes up, why? Why? What is so important about being saved? What is so important about knowing Jesus that people would spend all of this time and energy that the story of Jesus might be spread or might be shared? Is it really worth the effort that has been put out in order that the message of Jesus might be heard, believed, and that Jesus might be trusted? Is salvation really that important? And let me say quickly, yes it is. Yes it is. Before you, you see Romans 5, 1 and 2. One Florida preacher looked at Romans 5, 1 through 5 and listed what he called 10 assets of being justified, or 10 assets of being saved, if you will. And then he put a subtitle, Some Treasures of Salvation. He was careful also not to say all the treasures of being saved. He said that some treasures of being saved. And I ask you to look at the printed scripture either on the screen or in your insert there, your scripture printed, and read the benefits that this one preacher listed as one, the benefits of the assets of being saved. The first one is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we will just hop over these rather quickly. Access to God. Grace. That's God's unmerited favor. And then in verse 2, we have the privilege of rejoicing in hope. In verse 3, you have rejoice in our sufferings. There will be some sufferings for the Christian. But Paul talks about in Romans 5, 3, we also rejoice in our sufferings. And then he says that's all good because that teaches us perseverance. So one of the blessings of being saved through Jesus Christ is perseverance. And then in verse 4 says character. And then that's one of the blessings. It develops character in us. And then moves on to hope. Hope that does not disappoint us because God has poured His love. So one of the benefits of salvation is experiencing the love of God. Not just hearing about it, but experiencing it. And then He has given us, we who are saved, the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, that's not printed, says, just at the right time, or at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. I ran across a list of benefits of being saved that I want to share with you this morning. I have 8 benefits of being saved. Being saved means that we are not condemned. John 3:18 says that we're condemned if we do not believe in Jesus. But believing in Jesus, we are not condemned. Believing in Jesus means in John 3:36 we read that we have everlasting life, or that we have life eternally with God. And some would say, well, do I really want to live forever? Well, the soul lives forever. The Bible teaches this. That we either live with God or we live separated from God. And I want my eternity, my everlastingness, to be spent with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the saved people, we who trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we even become new creatures, that we're not the same as we were before. We, all kind of changes take place. We change from trusting in self for salvation to trust in Jesus for salvation. We come from being hell-bent or hell-bound, we're heaven-bound. We cease to be citizens of this earth, we become citizens of heaven, and on and on. So we are new creatures, we're new people, we're not the same anymore. Romans 8:16 says that as Christians we are children of God. That's what salvation means. We become children of God. Everyone is a creation of God. But those who believe in Jesus are the children of God. And then Romans 8:17 says that we're heirs of God. And that means we will inherit all of God's blessings. John 14:27 says that we have the peace of God. Romans 8:9 says that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And then Philippians 4:3 says that we have our names written in the book of life. Ladies, the question I just want to throw at you. It's a serious question. If you have not yet, will you trust Jesus? Let's go. The benefits are the treasures. Knowing Him as your Lord and your Savior. The song is Just As I Am, that old favorite. Verse 1, 3, and 5. I want you to stand with me and let's sing that together. If you would respond publicly, you're encouraged to do so during this song.
Love us enough to give give up your son to die in our place so we might know the joy of being full-fledged members of your family, with heaven as our home. Now send us forth to share this with all that we do. In Jesus' name. Good morning. Larry Gillen. Southern. S-H-U-L-E-R. We have the Steelers here, but they're on a traveling ball team all summer. They got a little 15-year-old, I guess. Their daughter, 15. So, they're from North Carolina. And you know the Steelers from Tennessee, I guess. Are you from East Tennessee? Or would you have to be?
While you will not see me anymore. And then a little while later you will see me. Jesus knew